Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shriram Pistons and Wings Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today from the management, we have with us Mr. Krishna Kumar Srinivasan, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Prem Rathi, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Pankaj Gupta, Head Legal and Company Secretary. Before we begin, let me remind you that this discussion may contain forward-looking statements and may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It may be viewed in conjunction with the business risk that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is being expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Kumar for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the company, I would like to express our sincere gratitude to each one of you joining our Q4 and FY24 earnings call today. Our investor presentation and press release have been uploaded on the company's website and the stock exchanges, and we hope you all have had the opportunity to go through the same. FY24 has been a remarkable year for the company as we delivered our highest-ever financial performance by crossing the rupees 30,000 million milestone in terms of the total income, as well as delivered the highest-ever profitability of the company to date. Our standing as the leading manufacturer and exporter of our products in India, backed by our cutting-edge technology and technological collaborations with global leaders, has actually enabled us to achieve these feats. We have outgrown the domestic automobile market, which actually grew by a weighted average of around 7%, whereas we achieved a growth of almost 14.5% in total income, which is almost double of the market growth. The domestic passenger vehicle industry, which you would have seen, recorded its highest-ever sales of 4.2 million vehicles as far as the passenger vehicles are concerned, along with a robust growth in the two-wheeler and three-wheeler sales of 18.67 million vehicles collectively, have also provided the company with the necessary tailwinds as we recorded a 15% growth in domestic sales, which reached rupees 23,901 million in FY24, and a 7% growth in exports, which was rupees 5,182 million in FY24. I'm really happy to share with you all that during this quarter, the quarter gone by, we have commenced the manufacturing operations at our plant in Pithampur in Madhya Pradesh. Further, the process of building a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility near to our existing facility in Coimbatore is also on track. This facility will be focused on growing our EV portfolio, including electric motors and controllers for passenger vehicles, two-wheelers, three-wheelers, as well as the commercial vehicles. While we will continue to focus on developing and manufacturing the high-quality products for ICE engines and its alternate fuel solutions like the hybrid, the hydrogen, the CNG, the HCNG, the flex, etc., we are also strategically diversifying our product portfolio for future readiness. With the acquisitions of majority stakes in SPR EMFI and SPR Takasa Precision India, we are positioning ourselves to capitalize on the growing market for electric vehicles, EV mobility solutions, and plastic injection molded parts. I believe with our meticulously crafted business strategies, we will resiliently navigate the business landscape, with our primary focus remaining on achieving an all-round growth in the business, which will ensure long-term sustainability of the business overall. Guided by an experienced team and visionary leaders, SPRL is well-equipped to deliver precision quality products to its clients embracing new and cutting-edge technologies in the auto component industry. Let me quickly take you through the key standalone SPRL financial highlights for the quarter and the full year. Let me give some highlights of the quarterly financial performance first. Our total income for the quarter stood at ₹8,029 million in Q4 FY24 against ₹7,128 million in Q4 FY23, thereby registering a growth of almost 12.6% year-on-year. Our operating profit, EBITDA, was at ₹1,906 million, which expanded by 24.2% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margin expanded by 222 basis points to 23.7% for the quarter from 21.5% in Q4 FY23. Further, profit after tax for the quarter was at ₹1,206 million against ₹926 million in Q4 FY23, reporting a significant growth of 30.2% year-on-year. We reported a PAT margin at 15% for the quarter, which has improved by 203 basis points from 13% in Q4 FY23. So overall, there has been a stupendous growth in all-round sales as well as EBITDA and the profitability after tax. Now, moving on to the highlights for FY24, our company achieved a 14.5% year-on-year growth in total income to ₹3,351 million in FY24 as compared to ₹26,513 million in FY23. Moreover, our consolidated total income recorded a growth of 19.5% in FY24, growing to ₹31,746 million from ₹26,560 million in FY23. Our EBITDA expanded to ₹7,114 million, witnessing a growth of 39.6% on a year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margin improved 421 basis points from 19.2% in FY23 to 23.4% in FY24. On a consolidated basis, FY24, EBITDA stood at ₹7,273 million, recording a strong growth of 43.4% from the previous fiscal. Consolidated EBITDA margin stood at 22.9%, expanding by 382 basis points from 19.1% in FY23. Similarly, our PAT for FY24 stood at ₹4,468 million, which grew by 51.2% on a year-on-year basis against ₹2,956 million in FY23. The PAT margin has also expanded from 11.1% in FY23 to 14.7% in FY24. On a consolidated basis, PAT stood at ₹4,387 million, surging by 49.3% in FY24 from ₹2,939 million in FY23. The consolidated PAT margin was at 13.8%, expanding by 275 basis points from 11.1% in FY23. Our ROE and ROCE as at end of FY24 stood at 22.9 and 29.2% respectively. The company is generating positive cash from operations to tune of ₹4,742 million during FY24. We have been maintaining a robust credit profile with the credit rating of AA stable. I am really happy to share with you all that our esteemed board has recommended a final dividend of ₹5 per equity share for financial year FY24 in addition to the interim dividend of ₹5 per equity share already paid. This is post the 1:1 bonus issue that was given in FY24. I am also delighted to announce that our board has recommended and approved the listing of the company's equity shares at the Bombay Stock Exchange, which is subject to necessary approvals and clearances, of course. With this, I would like to end my opening speech and I would request the moderator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Anupama Bhotra from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is regarding EV orders. So how are EV orders standing out? And if you can quantify in some way, that is my first question. And my second question is like, I think system rings and engine walls, the revenue is, I think,
Anupama,
equal.
Sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is coming a little muffled. Can you speak for that?
Yeah, we are unable to hear actually.
It's fine. Is it okay?
A little better. Can you talk?
Yeah. So my question is regarding EV orders. How are you quantify?
Anupama, sorry to interrupt you once again, but we are losing your audio. Can you check if you have proper reception at your end? May I request you to reach out to
you? Can you hear me now? Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Can you tell me the second question? I have noted the first question. Can you tell the
second question is about system wins and engine walls. I think as far as revenue mix is concerned, it's equal. Is the margin on the margin front also, is it equal? Has equal margin? Similar margin?
We just couldn't realize what was the question.
Anupama, sorry to interrupt you, but I'll request you to come back, please.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Thank you. Participants, kindly use handsets while asking your question. Next question is from the line of Ruchita from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. So my question was mainly on the side of this company that we have a partnership, a technology partnership with, KS Colden Schmidt. So just wanted to understand, so what is the technology through which they are producing their pistons and what is their market share overall?
Yeah, so Colden Schmidt actually is our technology partner. And as you know that, you know, they have been in this field for a pretty long time and we have had associations with Colden Schmidt for the last 5 decades. So practically, all our piston designs have been based on the technology that we have learned from Colben Schmidt. And, you know, as on date going forward also, there are going to be, there are a lot of changes that are happening in the piston design from a technology standpoint requiring, because of the, you know, high power density and torque density requirements that are coming in the market, especially for the commercial vehicle side, which requires a complete change in the design of the pistons. And we are working with them to, you know, bring those pistons into the market, number one. And number two, as you know, we are working on our technology center, which is set up in Ghaziabad. It's one of the premier technology centers, which does end-to-end design, right from design, you know, and all the various analysis like FMEA and others and PFMEA and also the various analysis, we are able to deliver the products to our customers duly designed in-house in Ghaziabad. This design center is presently working on forward-looking technologies for CNG requirements, for ethanol blending right up to 85%, and also hydrogen pistons. We have delivered some samples. We have already worked with our customers, and we are working with them for further developing the same. And for all that, we also closely collaborate with our partners, Colben Schmidt. So that's one part of the question. Second part, as far as the market share is concerned, I think we are the leading manufacturers in the country and our market share is certainly on a higher side. So I'm unable to give the right figure, you know, the exact figures due to UPSI information.
Sorry, sir. So actually, let me reframe the question. My question was mainly on the side of Colben Schmidt. So what is their market share in the kind of pistons that they make? like let's say there are 3 to 4 technology in pistons. So you know which kind of technology are they using and what is their market share in that?
They also use the same technology as what we use today, and you know their technology is also they also manufacture aluminium pistons, steel pistons, and others. And depending on the markets, the product requirements are different. Now, for that's what I said. For you know, the European market is already a high torque, high power density market, where they make you know even forged pistons and steel pistons and others, where they have a very high market share. And in aluminium pistons, in certain markets where they supply, say, to the Czech Republic as well as to the U.S., even in U.S. markets, they are selling quite a good amount of steel pistons and aluminium pistons, forged aluminium pistons, which we also make in the country today.
But is there any market share that you can you know talk about that they have?
They are amongst the you know the top two manufacturers apart from FM Mahle and Kolbenschmidt. They are the only three top manufacturers in the globally that they are present across the globe. So they have a fairly good market share.
Okay. So on this point only, sir, I was just reading an article wherein I heard that they are kind of shutting down this operation of theirs. So since, you know, we have a technical partnership with them, so in case, you know, that unit of theirs closes down, do we have an opportunity to produce it through that technology and grab whatever market share they have? And then, you know, drastically our exports would increase. Is that a way to look at it? If you could just help me with that.
Let me highlight. You know, first and foremost, I don't think Kolbenschmidt is closing down. Okay, let me re-clarify this. Actually, what has happened is the owner of Kolbenschmidt, which is Rheinmetall, they have decided to focus all their attention on their defense business. And they have decided to, you know, move their focus from the piston business that they were in, which was actually done under the name of Kolbenschmidt. And hence, they have actually sold out the piston business, which has been now acquired by Comitens Capital. And it has been run as Kolbenschmidt, specifically all over the globe. So they are not closing down. They are still operational completely, and we still continue to have a technology collaboration with them. That's point number one. Point number two, as far as our independence and self-sufficiency is concerned with regards to our own development, I think our engineering center over the last, you know, more than a decade that it's operating is very well equipped today in all respects, including testing and analysis, to be able to design its own, you know, the pistons as per the requirement of our customers here in India as well as other parts of the globe, and be able to deliver the products as per their requirement. So we do have that, you know, self-sufficiency today. But at the same time, we value our partnership with Kolbenschmidt, and on some of the new technologies, we are even working together.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you for your detailed answer. I have a few more questions, but I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from Ingvay Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted your thoughts on FY25 outlook. Some of the OEMs have highlighted, especially on the passenger vehicle side, growth to moderate to about mid-single digit. Even outlook for the CV industry has been more or less flattish for FY25. Any thoughts you would like to share on the domestic auto industry outlook and our business, and also probably if you can touch base on aftermarket business and international business in terms of the overall growth outlook?
Hi, Chirag. Yeah, you know, first and foremost, let me highlight how the market is moving as far as the domestic market is concerned. What is happening is we see excellent pull in both the passenger vehicle as well as the two-wheeler industry. And we are seeing that both, you know, except for the cyclical changes that happens normally in the month of April, we are seeing excellent scheduling coming in from most of our customers, especially for the passenger vehicles as well as the two-wheeler markets. You rightly said, you know, I think the election did have its small impact on the commercial vehicle industry. Commercial vehicle industry has been slightly flattish. But post-elections and post the new government coming in, there are expectations of, you know, funds getting released and the newer investments taking off in full swing. And we expect the market to pick up very drastically there. And, you know, the commercial vehicle industry, especially in Q3, Q4, is expected to actually rise up from the current levels that it is in today. So that's as far as the domestic market is concerned. And in fact, as far as our exports and aftermarket is concerned, I think we are growing at a fairly steady rate. Our focus has been on penetration, and we have been able to do that in quite a good way, and which has actually given us the improved benefits both on top line and bottom line.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. So another question in terms of the EV powertrain business, any development of progress that you would like to share in terms of new order wins over there? Some details?
You mean EV powertrain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, we have, as I said, you know, I said this in the last call also, that we have been able to start off in a very good way as far as our EV business is concerned. And we are working with many of our customers on newer developments. Many of the products are under testing. And looking at the current, you know, business scenario and the kind of volume growth that we are expecting to happen in the EV markets, we are actually, we realize that we'll have to immediately go for, you know, building up, you know, our capacities. And we are putting up a completely, you know, even though we have a fairly good capacity, and that capacity seems to be getting booked now soon, we are looking at, you know, we have bought recently a new piece of land in Coimbatore, and we are building up a new factory there in Coimbatore for making the EV motors and further, you know, adding more lines. So, unfortunately, I can't give the numbers and figures with the customers, but I certainly think that the volumes are looking very, very healthy.
Okay. Just last thing, and then I'll come back in the queue. Anything on the M&A opportunities that you would like to highlight?
Well, we are looking at it like a hawk, and I'm hoping that we will be able to close a couple of deals soon.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Chirag.
Next question is from the line of Sanjay Kular from Acme Capital. Acme Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Compliments to you, sir, for delivering good results. I have two questions. One is, what is the vision target in terms of sales over next 3 to 5 years? And what is the capex for 1 or 2 years down the line?
Hi, Sanjay. Yeah. Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, as again, future looking, you know, vision numbers, we don't normally give in this thing, but we are looking to, you know, continue our focus on outgrowing the market. We expect the market to grow, you know, as you would have seen last year. We expect similarly this, you know, current year as well as next year. Of course, post the elections, we are hoping that everything goes well. We are hoping that the markets will rebound very strongly, and we will be looking at a figure of around close to 6 to 8% growth in the market as far as the volumes are concerned. And we have a fairly good position with all our customers, and we expect that our growth should be better than that. Primarily coming out of not only the improved sales coming from the domestic business, but also with the focus that we have with regards to penetrating newer markets in the aftermarket and the exports. So we expect to still continue to outgrow that figure of 6 to 8%. Okay. Now coming to the capex need, you know, as I've said, that we'll be the last man standing as far as the IC engine is concerned. We'll still service all the last engine that is made globally. And with that aim in view, we have to ensure that we are able to meet our customer requirements on a regular basis. And based on their programs and their outlook, we have to continue to invest into our current business. But we are doing it cautiously, and we are doing it also, we are trying to bring in a lot of operational efficiencies and also ensuring that we are bringing in a good amount of, success with our automation and other digitization progress that we have done, thereby helping us to improve our output as much as possible and regulate our capex to the extent that is possible on our legacy business. So we have been able to do that quite well, and we hope to continue to do that in the coming future.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot, Sanjay.
Thank you. Next question is from Varun Arora from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, Varun, please go ahead.
So, just one question. Since I'm very new to this company, I just want to ask you, so what sort of CapEx you are doing for this greenfield expansion for this EV in Coimbatore? If you can give any number.
Yeah, on the EV side, as you would have seen, it's a figure which is already available. We have invested almost 70 crores further beyond our investment to the company, where we are putting in for new CapEx and new lines that we are putting up there, including building up a brand new plant in Coimbatore.
That's only for Coimbatore, right, sir?
Yeah.
And altogether, if you're putting a CapEx for FY25, what will be the ballpark number, sir? For FY25, altogether?
The 70 crores will be mostly spent in FY25, as I see.
Okay, that will be the Coimbatore. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's it for myself, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Varun.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Dhruv from BP Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello? Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Hi. Congratulations on the great numbers for FY24. Your claim has been that the company is confident about growing twice the industry growth rate. How confident are you, sir, considering the moderate outlook as mentioned earlier in the coming year?
Yeah, I think, Dhruv, I already answered this, that last year we were able to almost double than the market growth. You know, the market was almost like 7% weighted average, and we were able to register a growth of almost 14.5% as far as our top line was concerned. But, going forward, of course, it depends on the market, depends on the customers. But we expect that the passenger car industry will still continue to grow at around 7.5%. And the commercial vehicle is expected to be a little flattish. The two-wheeler markets are also expected to grow between 5-7%. So we expect to outgrow this market, primarily coming with our push on improving our, sales into the export and aftermarket. So we will continue to outgrow this this number.
So my only concern was the 2x industry growth number that we were targeting. It is seeming a bit out of reach at this point. Is that how you would look at this?
No. When I say outgrow, it could be 2x also. So
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, my next question is on the Pithampur plant, sir. You've commenced production, commercial production. Can you give me some number on the revenue potential of the entire plant when it is up to capacity?
Yeah, see, basically, the Pithampur plant started in March, and we have already done our billing in March, as well as we continue to do our billing in April and May. And we are, it's ramping up production there. And, we have put in with regards to the overall business, we have put in almost close to 80 crores of rupees in terms of building the new plant. And it's a state-of-art plant, fully integrated. And, it's one of the most modern plants that you'll see in terms of Industry 4.0 requirements and interconnected machineries and everything. So we expect to really get a fairly good potential out of this investment.
Based on the current capacity, sir, you wouldn't happen to have a number for the peak revenue from this plant?
No, all the capacities that have been put up is backed by customer businesses, forward-looking customer businesses that have been awarded already to us. So we expect that plant to get booked up very soon, and we'll continue to grow that business and grow that plant. So I can't give the numbers, unfortunately, but we hope that we will certainly be able to release the figures hopefully by the next quarter.
Okay, great. So my last question is on your EMFI collaboration and the production that you're doing on the EV motor controllers. Can you give me some numbers on the share of two-wheelers and PVs and CVs? It will be really helpful for us to understand.
We don't give our market share figures normally. Obviously, because this has all been tracked by competition also, and we have to be a little careful on this. So, but we at the same time we have to we want to inform you that we have put in lines which will make hub motors right from 250 watts right up to 30 kilowatts. And mid-drive motor lines which can make right from 7 kilowatt right up to 300 kilowatts. Now this, when we put this kind of a range, it caters to, including small bicycles with a small motor of 250 watts. We can cater right up to, 300 kilowatts which goes into commercial vehicles. So you can be rest assured that we are not going to sit here only making for two-wheelers or this thing. So as the market grows, we are going to cater to all the segments of the industry.
Okay, great. But, I'll say my part and then you can add on to it if you want. Can I assume that right now, since two-wheeler penetration is much higher, it would be around 60-70% two-wheelers and the rest would be passenger vehicles and commercial vehicles?
Yeah.
Or the mix is even more deeper towards two-wheelers?
The market is more two-wheeler today, as far as the EV industry is concerned. And so two-wheeler is prominent at this stage. But then there are a number of programs on which we are already doing, multiple trials are going on, and, the various testings are going on, the reliability trials are going on. There's a lot of work which is going on the other segments of the market.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. That's all from us.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Anubhav from Princeton Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, Anubhav, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Sir, I'm new to the company, so please forgive me if some of my questions are very basic. So the first question I have is, if I look over like last 4-5 years, there has been a significant improvement in margin, and it seems to be coming from lowering of manufacturing cost. So is this improvement because of some change in product mix due to change in emission norms, or is it cost control? Sir, if you can explain this, it will be very helpful.
Yeah, so Anubhav, you are right in your observation that last 4 or 5 years there have been massive changes in the operational efficiencies. We did go for big changes with regards to modernizing our lines and ensuring that we are able to bring in more automation and digitization, and at the same time focusing very heavily on operational efficiencies, and all that has helped. And number one and number two, there have been also number of other areas that we have worked beyond this to be able to improve our products. Then at the same time, our lines are, fortunately for us, our lines are fairly fungible, and we are able to, based on the market needs, we are able to really cater to those needs by switching on the products into different lines and thereby meeting the market demand. So we have been able to meet our customer requirements well, and we have been able to thereby utilize our capacity quite well. So those are the areas that has really helped us to improve, number one. And number two, going forward, we continue this journey, and we are hopeful that we will have the edges of all our customers to be able to continue this journey, and the market also remains in a good stead in the coming next 2 to 3 years.
Good, sir. And sir, in your core product range of like pistons and balls, how has your market share moved in the last 4-5 years? Have you increased it and compared to your competitors?
Well, I think I replied this question earlier. We have been constantly working with almost all the customers, and when you outgrow the market, you know, especially when you know market has grown by 7% and we have grown by 14.5%, you know, it's but natural that we have actually you know improved our market share. So you know, so we have worked on improving our market share, and we have worked on continuing to you know. Take more businesses across different segments of the market. So there has been there's not only a segment mix change. There is a product mix change. There is also improvements in the segments of the market. For example, you started supplying marine engines, pistons for marine engines, rings for marine engines, pistons for snowmobile applications, etc., etc. So there are many new applications that we have added, which has also helped us to grow the business.
Yes, sir. And so in the aftermarket segment, what are the key growth drivers for us? Like, is it we are increasing our distribution, or is there we are taking share away from many unorganized players? Explain that, that would be helpful.
No, aftermarket business is a slightly different business, and we have to ensure that our brand continues to have its value. We have been focusing on improving our product quality to such an extent that the brand has been pulled by the market. So we see a huge pull for our brands. Now, basically, there are two major brands within our portfolio. One is called the Usha brand, and the second one is called the SPR brand. And both the brands in different segments of the markets are actually doing very, very well. And they have been able to, you know, create a huge pull from the customers. So that's the primary reason that we have a fairly good penetration. Second point is that we have worked heavily on, you know, ensuring that we are able to penetrate the market and ensure that we have the products lined up with all segments of the market. So that has, you know, so in aftermarket, it is very important for us to be present in all corners, nook and corner of the country. I am happy to state that we have over 1,200 touch points in the country, and we have field staff which are servicing these touch points on a regular basis and almost on a daily basis. So it's all about the service levels, and it's all about the penetration levels that we are able to achieve.
Yes, right, sir. And in the aftermarket, is there any share that is with the unorganized segment, or is it entirely with branded products like yours?
No, it's normally we don't fight with unorganized players. Our business is we have our own standing in the market. There's a huge pull for the products that we make, and a huge pull for the primarily coming out of the quality and the supply situation that we have, and that creates the pull in the market. And we don't normally fight with the unorganized sector.
Yes, sir. And sir, is there a typical replacement cycle kind for your products? Because the aftermarket seems to be quite large for you.
No, there is also a good huge park of vehicles in the market. As you know, the park is over 100 million vehicles. So obviously, the vehicles need to undergo different life cycle of the respective products. They have to undergo different refurbishment requirements, and those refurbishment requirements requires that, you know, once the engine is opened, it has to undergo a lot of change with regards to changing the liner, and once the liner is changed, then you have to change the piston and rings and everything. So it's a regular cycle that happens in the market.
Okay. And the last question, in the EV segment, sir, like for the motor controllers, are you like for the new projects or like is it for development for new models of OEMs, or is it like for existing models also you are in the consideration? How is that?
Yeah, for both, for existing as well as for the new models. New models have to, you know, as per the new requirements of the government and the new rules that have been put in, every sub-product has to be, validated and tested and ARAI certified. So we have to get all that done before the launch of the vehicle. So all that is being done as we speak.
No, sir. Like, my question was, suppose, existing EV models that are already in the market, they already have, because MCU is a, key component, so they would already have some vendor tie-up or maybe manufacture it in-house. So what is the driver for them to consider our product?
No, it depends on their volumes. There are still customers who are able to increase their volumes in the market. They have to look for alternate sources because they can't depend on one source or two source. In some cases, there are also three sources. So it all depends on how the requirement of the market demand is, and then accordingly they choose their suppliers. And we are certain that with our current name and with the reach that we have, thanks to Shriram Pistons, we have a fairly good position with almost all the customers in the market today.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Anubhav. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Ruchita Karge from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. So, some question was mainly on the side of exports. So, if I look at your export versus what it was last year, we've just grown by 7%. So, can you point out what are the reasons and how do we see this going ahead?
Yeah, so Ruchita, it's very important to understand that last year we have had multiple effects on the market. And, with the Ukraine war continuing and then subsequently the onset of the Israel in the Gaza Strip and the related issues that happened subsequently, the markets have got affected in various parts of the globe. And Europe is badly affected. The markets are down. UK markets were completely down. It's just tending to be a little bit coming out of the bottom now. And the US market was slightly up as compared to the previous year. So if you really understand this market and see the growth rate in these markets, the average growth rate has been, if you take a weighted average, it has been less than 1%. As compared to the previous year. And when we grow in our components 7%, it means we have grown almost outgrown the market by 7 times. It's really a huge outgrowth for the kind of markets that we are catering to, because the export markets are very badly affected.
Okay, and next year, what is the outlook, sir?
Next year, the current situation in the market still continues to be bad as far as the export market is concerned. So our focus is to see how we can still outgrow the market, and we'll continue that focus on this particular area.
Okay. And so on one of the accounting question. So in our annual report, I see this miscellaneous expenses that we have. Every year it's around 80-90 crores. So what is this exactly?
Miscellaneous expenses?
Yeah, so in 23 it was around 71 crores.
Ruchita, there are different heads of expenses actually. So there is a list of expenses which are there, which are not specifically given in the annual report. So mainly it's the admin related expenses actually.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruchita.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Piyush from Equinity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good numbers.
Thanks, Piyush.
Sir, wanted to understand more on the content per vehicle side. So with increasing emission regulations, right, increasing emission standards, as well as flex fuels or even, say, increased ethanol blending in with petrol, will our content per vehicle for the same product increase? So for every newer vehicle, will it be some percentage higher compared to what you're already supplying for IC engines? And do we see a trend here?
Yeah, it's a very nice question, Piyush. Very, very good question. See, what happens is as the technology changes, for example, the technology, if you're moving towards, let's say, ethanol blending, or if you're moving towards hydrogen pistons for hydrogen as a fuel, you will observe that it requires a massive change in the overall design. You know, it requires a complete different approach, and you might see that the technology that needs to be done, you know, in some cases you need it to be we call it as case light pistons. You know, it could be case light pistons with a very unique bowl shape, which needs to be done to ensure that we get the best efficiency of firing inside the cylinder, and this requires a huge amount of design work that needs to be done. And so with every technology change, there is, in terms of depending on, of course, the number of cylinders, the content could change. But at the same time, but from a product perspective, you know, single product, because of the technology that goes into it with regards to coating and other requirements, the content per vehicle always goes up. And we are expecting it to continue to grow up, go up as we go along. So it's a very good question, and I think there is no fixed trend, because it depends again on the kind of technology. For example, Euro 6, when we migrated from Euro into Euro 6 from Euro 4, at that time there was a content improvement from a value perspective, but it was not very high. But with regards to hydrogen and ethanol, we expect it to be higher.
Yes, sir. So while hydrogen could be a while away, what you would closely see is ethanol blending percentage is improving. So they're already in closer to 10%, and with regard to the targets, you would see them move higher upwards of 20-25%, right, in the near term.
Yeah, yeah. The government is already working on E85. You know, in other parts of the globe, in Brazil, people have blended 85%. And, we already have solutions for that, and we are already working on it. Requires different kind of coatings on our rings and others. So all that is already been done, and that requires a different level of, technology which needs to be applied, and naturally the content will go up.
Yeah, so while you may have already seen some benefit, even with this increase in proportion from 10 to 20, your content will continue to improve. So it is a significant shift for you guys in terms of the technology.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Rajneesh Mehan from Master Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Hi, Rajneesh.
Hi. I just wanted to know these 2 acquisitions that you have done. What is the revenue contribution to them in this quarter?
You mean in the last last financial year, you're saying, right?
Yeah, last financial year.
Well, we closed the deal in between of the year, so we did not have the full benefit of the full year. But if we take the annualized benefit, we expect the annualized benefit based on the last year's performance to be somewhere close to 270 crores for Takata and 15 or 20 odd crores for EMFI. But going forward, the as I said, EMFI is just a, you know, it is the volume of business that we are doing and the kind of capacity that we are setting up is huge. The increase in revenue is going to be quite, you know, vertical. And that's going to really help us to increase the scale.
So, sir, if I can ask you, 3 years down the line, what percentage of, I mean, the total revenue do you think these two new businesses will give you?
Well, I can't give you a forward-looking statement, but it is going to be significant. It's already significant, as we see. And we expect it to be even more significant as we go along. So, what is very important, Rajnish, is to see the fact that we have been able to de-risk our business model, not only from a, you know, we have done it in two ways. One is our legacy products have got de-risked by different applications, like what I said, you know, earlier, the marine applications and the, you know, snowmobile applications and others. As a result, you know, those segments of the market are going to have its life for the next 30, 40 years. So we don't expect any big issue there. And at the same time, we have invested into newer areas which are agnostic to the powertrain, and as a result, we will have a much better, you know, life of those products existing in the market. So we don't see any major issue now with all the investments that we have done and the directions that we are taking for the next 30, 40, 50 years for the company to really continue to grow.
And the margins will also be more in this, right?
That's a good point. Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. And so the other question was, in your presentation, I mean, now because this was up, like, you know, whatever this, you know, not full year. So next year, I mean, next quarter onwards, can you give the breakup of, I mean, in your consolidated of the segment-wise breakup? I mean, the business revenue coming from the new businesses and the old piston.
See, what happens is these are segments of the business which is a part of our overall consolidated sales. And, you know, we prefer to, you know, ensure that we are giving, you know, fairly good, you know, on-site or insight into the kind of businesses that we are in and how we are going to grow those businesses. But in terms of giving any forward-looking statements with regards to the, you know, percentages or how much percentage it will take, it will be very difficult for us to do that.
No, not forward-looking. I'm just asking the segment-wise, you know, so that, you know, for, I mean, Excel sheet that makes, you know, the growth and also we can project better, like what segments each are giving.
That will be available.
I mean, this new EV, the EV and the piston, that's it, if that
can. It should be available in the public domain, those kind of figures. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rajnish.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ashish Kavra, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Ashish. Yeah.
Can you hear me? Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just
thank
wanted
you.
To ask, like, for the next 3 to 5 years, what will be the portion of this EV in the total sales of Shriram, and are we also looking for other segments like that are not related to the present stream of revenues?
Yeah, so Ashishji, it is, as I answered this question earlier also, that we have now products which are not dependent on the powertrain, so they are agnostic to the IC engine. So those products, obviously, we want to grow those businesses, and at the same time, there are some portion of the legacy business which we don't expect the markets to go away, and the markets will continue for the next 35-40 years. So we are hoping that we will be able to still cater to the demands of the legacy products as well as the demands of the newer businesses that we are entering into. EV will be a significant portion as we go forward, because the scale, it is going to multiply quite heavily, and as the volume grows up, the penetration goes up, I think our penetration also into the EV segment will increase, because we are now well positioned with many of our customers. So hopefully that will continue, and you know, even the other areas, we have already invested into areas of very high precision plastic injection molded parts, which also has its own growth profile, and we are seeing very good opportunities there. apart from that, we are continuing to look to deploy our cash that we have on our balance sheet in a useful way, thereby able to increase the product portfolio. And of course, we are looking at areas other than which are agnostic to the IC engines.
Okay. And secondly, sir, previously said that you all are also looking for any mergers and any takeover of companies. So can you give a ballpark number, like what can be the range of that? Like what can be the size of the deal in that case?
I'm pushing my team to maximize as much as possible. I can't give any numbers at this stage because it all depends on what we'll be able to fructify. So as and when that happens, obviously we will inform the market immediately.
And sir, in which segments that will be? If you can just
we are continuing to focus on the auto segment. We don't want to I think our strength lies in the auto segment. We are well positioned with all our customers, and we will continue to grow the business in the auto segment. But it will be in areas which are agnostic to IC engines, and hopefully it will be into various other products that are required in an automobile.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now end the conference. Over to Mr. Krishna Kumar for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. So first and foremost, good interest in all the questions, and I'm really seeing fantastic questions from almost all the people who participated in this. I really extend my sincere gratitude to all who joined our earnings and investor call today, contributing to this very engaging discussion. We are committed to our business strategy, aiming to deliver positive results continually. For any further questions or information, please contact our investor relations team at EY. On behalf of the company, I thank you all once again for your time and participation. Do please take care of yourselves and goodbye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Shriram Pistons and Wings Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.